Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to our nighttime eating call for February. I am Coach Lizzie. I am so very grateful to be with you this evening. And I'm going to explain why I'm more grateful than normal. And I might cry, and we're going to make that okay. But before I get into that, let me just make sure I'm not talking to like myself. So send me a note in the chat. Can you hear me? Where are you calling me from or listening to me from? So far, no one is saying anything. Okay, phew, we got people here. All right, so people can hear me. This is excellent. So, hi, everyone. Welcome. So glad you can hear me. I'm so grateful that you're here. So, anytime I get to talk to the No BS ladies, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It is absolutely amazing to get to host these calls. But tonight, I'm especially grateful. Because literally, like 90 minutes ago, I was in my backyard hosing down the bushes to prevent them from catching fire. And you'd be like, wait, what did she say? So, yeah, I had a quick break between my coach, the coaches meeting and my last call this afternoon. And so I went for, it was about to go for a little walk. And I get like 30 steps away from my front door, and my two doors down neighbor is out in her front yard with her, I'm gonna guess, 6-year-old son. And she yells to me, "There's a fire in my backyard." And I'm like, "What? What? That does not compute." And I look and I can see over her house flames. And there is woods. That is in all of our backyards, and the flames that are in her backyard are not very far from mine. And at first, I was like, oh shit. And then I said, can I help you? And she said, I don't know. I called 911 and I could hear the sirens. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to my house. And so I walked back in my house and I said to my husband, emergency, get off your call. I need you now. And so we go to the backyard, we get out the hose, we turn on the sprinklers, and we're hosing down the woods in the back of our house as we can see the flames over there. So the reason why I bring this up is not only is it like a little fresh, but also, and also, thank God, God bless everyone. Can we just say a big, like, God bless our first responders and the people who come to help. So thank God for the fire department. They, no joke, I'm not kidding, saved our house today because, like, again, very higher than the house, flames were over there. And now they're fine. Everything is okay. They came, so it's all good. So big prayer for that. But yes, as Audrey said in the chat, my nervous system must be a little over the top. You know what? A smidge. And it's so actually just like perfect that this is the nighttime eating call because we're going to talk about this together in real time. So whether you have, hopefully you don't have a literal fire in your yard, but we have the metaphorical fires. And what's really funny is like right all of a sudden I'm like really hot. I'm like, oh my God, we need to turn the fan on in here. It's okay. I'm okay. But we have medical metaphorical fires in our lives. There's the dog pooped on the floor. There's stress at work. People, we've been having layoffs at work, and so there's four people to do the job of six, and so there's still the same amount of work, and there's fewer of us to do it. And oh, I've got to pick up the slack, or like my husband is sick, my mom is sick, all the things. Your grandchild vomits in your car. Exactly, Audrey. Yes, these are the metaphorical fires that happen in our lives all the time. And before you even say, like, oh, well, so and so has it worse, I do not care. We all have real things that are happening. And just because somebody else might have it more serious or worse than you does not diminish what you're experiencing. You have stress, acknowledge it. Do not gaslight yourself that whatever you're experiencing is not as big of a deal as somebody else. So here's what we're going to do. First of all, this is a live coaching call. So if you'd like to raise your hand and get coached, I promise I can pull it together and we'll do coaching. But so please do raise your hand. But I would also want you to walk through me, walk with me through an exercise that we're going to do together for when you have stress, anxiety, grief, any of those things. And so you may have heard me like 2 weeks ago on a call do this with a client, but it is so powerful to just acknowledge what you're feeling. Because we are so well taught and experienced and expressed at pushing away our feelings. I'm feeling anxious, push it away. I'm feeling tired, do something else. And that's we use food to fix our anxiety, to fix our fatigue, to fix all the things. I spoke to a client earlier this week where I was talking about feelings, and she was like, even just acknowledging what I'm feeling feels scary because she was raised in a household where you were seen and not heard. And so to have feelings was dangerous. And so she learned, nope, we're going to push those away. The problem is our nervous system, the feelings are here for a reason. They're messengers. They are our body's beautiful system of saying, hey, we have something going on. There's smoke. Maybe there's fire. And so our feelings are simply expressions of our body saying, hey, there's something to pay attention to here. But if you don't pay attention and you push it away with food or busyness or what have you, they still want to be seen. They still want, your nervous system is still getting amped up. And so that can be why it is hard to stop it enough because your body may have had enough food, but your feelings are like, we're still feeling some stuff here. And so they're like, we need more food to feel settled. So if you know you're at enough at dinner, but you want more, that could be because you've not acknowledged your feelings. And your feelings are saying, we're still a little above home base here and we want to feel settled because food can feel settling. But it's not the only way. So we're going to walk through this together with a tool for how to acknowledge your feelings. And if I cry, it's going to be totally fine. All right, you ready? I want you to do this with me. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say, what am I feeling? And we're looking for a word, a single word feeling. Anxious, tired, frustrated, whatever. Anything is fine. And then we're going to say, I'm allowed to feel that feeling. I don't have to fix it. It can just be here. And then together, you're going to do this with me. We're going to take a big breath. You're going to breathe it out. We're going to do it 5 times because feelings tend to come in layers. And so, usually, like by the time you get to that third or fourth rep, the real thing that's bothering you is what surfaces. So, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. I have not processed this yet. So, we're going to do it in real time, right? Somebody give me some love, some emojis, some thumbs up. This is a little scary. Can you give me some love that this is going to be okay? Emojis, anybody? Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Let's do this. All right. What am I feeling? I am feeling afraid. I am allowed to feel afraid. I don't have to fix feeling afraid. It makes a lot of sense that I would feel afraid. For this 1 minute, I could just allow myself to feel afraid. Okay, everybody, big breath. Here we go, big breath. Whew. We got to the good stuff right away. Okay, we're gonna do 4 more times. What am I feeling? I am feeling scared. I'm allowed to feel scared. I don't have to fix feeling scared. I can just, for 1 minute in front of a lot of people, feel scared. Big breath in, breathe in with me, everybody. Here we go. Oh my God, it feels good. Okay, three more times. What am I feeling? I'm feeling just dumbstruck that what a close call. So I'm allowed to feel dumbstruck. I don't have to fix that feeling. I can just feel it for 1 minute and let it be here. Big breath in. Let it all out. Really breathe it out. Two more times. What am I feeling? I'm feeling relieved. Profoundly relieved. I am allowed to feel relieved. I don't have to do anything to change that feeling. I can just lean in and feel relieved. Big breath in. Let it all out. Whew. One more time. What am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling so grateful. I'm allowed to feel grateful. I can just let the feeling of gratefulness be here. Let it sink in. For this 1 minute, I could just soak up the feeling of gratitude. Big breath in. Breathe it all out. So, how is that for you? First time I've cried on a coaching call. I can tell you that if I were to rate the intensity of my feelings from before I started to now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being super chill. And 10 being super anxious and amped up. I was probably at 8 when we started, and I feel like I'm a 2 right now. And take some more breaths. Oh my gosh. I feel a lot better. And while I have known the power of this tool personally for a long time, now you see it in real time. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that with you, to do it in real time and show you that it can really help. I am definitely going to catch up on the chat when I get a minute. I was busy crying. So thank you everybody for all of your love and support and the emojis. I really feel it. Ah, I'm feeling so much better. How about you? So this is an example of when your grandchild vomits in the car, when your boss gives you an extra project, when you're understaffed at work, when your spouse, doesn't acknowledge you, you're feeling some real feelings, and they are messengers. They are messengers from your nervous system saying, hey, something's going on here. I want some attention. And if you would like to address your nighttime eating, because it all comes back to weight loss, y'all, you can acknowledge your feelings. And it takes courage. You don't have to do it in front of 79 people. You can just do it by yourself in your closet or in your bathroom. But it really is a powerful way to just help your nervous systems feel safe. Yes, thank you, Darlene. Apparently, God put a fire in my backyard to make this the most powerful call ever and teach us. I was gonna say the first time I ever saw Lizzie cry. Yeah, well, I mean, if my husband were in the room, he'd be like, y'all, you don't even know. Lizzie cries all the time. So, hey, Here we go on a call with you, everybody. So I do look so relieved. I feel relieved. Thank you so much. So, now it is time for you to raise your hands because I said my stuff. The reason why it's really challenging to stop eating at night is because our nervous systems are asking for something that's not hunger. They're asking for relief. They're asking to be seen, whether it's I'm feeling scared and I want to just address that. Again, like you saw me, I was feeling scared. There was nothing to do about it. This thankfully, the emergency is gone. I'm like pushing over here because my backyard is like over there. And that can be interesting too, because what I could have done was said, this is silly. Everything's fine. The emergency's over. Get over it. But the feelings were still there. They were asking to be processed. And so we just did that together. So, yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for your love and appreciation. And so now it is time for you to raise your hands. Otherwise, we're just going to make this like a 16-minute coaching call. So please raise your hands. What kinds of metaphorical fires are going on that we can talk about to help you feel your feelings or not? Like, that actually is an interesting point. So, not everybody wants to feel their feelings. And in fact, I would probably say most of us are like, I'd rather not. I would even say I would rather not cry on a coaching call. But occasionally you may have learned that when you were young, that feelings were dangerous or unsafe, that it doesn't feel safe to feel your feelings. I had a client this week who was like, I started to go through the exercise with her and she was like, Lizzie, no, remember, I don't do emotions. I was like, oh yeah. So if you are the kind of person where you're like, I don't do emotions, that's okay. You are not screwed. Here's what I want you to know. If you don't do emotions, all you need to know is the energy, like emotions are energy in motion. The energy is in your body, it's in your nervous system. So 80% of your nervous system is below the neck. So what we got up here, like a lot of times we think our legs walk our brains around, but we got a whole system here. So if you are thinking to yourself, I don't know, I don't want to do this. This feels scary. This feels threatening. And I want to really respect that. What I still want you to do is meet your body where it's at, because your nervous system is activated and it's saying, we still got something going on here. I want some relief. That is the opportunity for you to meet your body where it's at. Put your hand on your heart. Even like give yourself a hug. This particular client happens to be a dog trainer, and so she has a lot of familiarity with dogs. And if you think about it, and in the most beautiful, kindest way, I like to think of our physical bodies are similar to dogs. They have amazing instincts and not awesome verbalization skills. So for her, I was like, how would you treat your dog if your dog was amped up, if your dog had its hackles raised? And maybe the dog is barking at the UPS truck, but it still thinks there's a threat. And so how would you comfort your dog? Because again, this particular client was like, I don't do emotions, but she did know dogs. How would you comfort your dog when your dog is upset? And she was like, well, I would touch it. I would snuggle it. I would speak quietly. And so if you are the kind of person that's like, emotions is a hard no, that's okay. I want you to treat your body like you would treat your most gorgeous, loving, sweetest pet. And just nurture your body because your body is so smart. It has amazing instincts and is sending you signals. I just want you to acknowledge and honor those signals and just say, I need a little bit of comfort right now. I need a little bit of safety, and I can create that for myself. Amazing. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Elena, I have definitely labeled myself as too emotional. A lot of us have felt that way. And so, we feel like we're too much. Too emotional that we can just kind of shut our feelings down, and that can lead to, kind of saying, my feelings don't matter, but they do. They're signals, and you can totally learn how to talk to your feelings and to your signals. Okay, so we got Mary coming up. Thank you so much for raising your hands, everybody. We got Mary and then Leanne and Annette. All right, Mary.
Oh, it is hard to start the video and microphone. Okay, here we go.
Hey,
Oh
Mary.
gosh. Hi. Hello, Lizzie. So I was just typing in the question thing. Like, I'm not sure if I'm okay with getting coached, but this is good. This is very good.
I already
I
cried. I broke the seal. We're good.
Yeah. Now I made your face bigger. This makes me feel better. Not seeing my whole
Okay.
big face at me. Okay. So I worked a night shift last night, which was at the medical lab. So it was a little bit stressful, and I didn't eat enough, so I was really hungry. And then I came home and I went to bed at like 8 a.m. without eating, and I woke up at 11 a.m. with like thinking about filing Chapter 13, and because I was unemployed for 6 months, and so I got a phone call from a debtor, an email from the bankruptcy lawyer, and then just my whole nervous system was just so like frayed and angry. And luckily my teenagers weren't here. They're at their dad's right now, but my two dogs and cats, I was just like, get out of my way. I was so just and I think it was a lot of just not meeting my basic human needs of like sleep and then the internet wasn't working, so I couldn't do my normal like calming, like I'm gonna drink my coffee and watch my Murder, She Wrote rerun. Like that's my calming murder or calming morning
Little
routine.
Angela Lansbury.
Yes. So it was just like, so I fed myself. I actually had leftover apple pie because it was the quickest thing to grab. And I drank my coffee and started to feel better, but I was still so tense and just racing thoughts that I was like, I'm gonna go to the store and buy wine right now. So it's just like, 'cause that's gonna calm me down. So and that's not like, I don't want to never drink wine, but I don't want to be using wine to like drug myself when I'm stressed out. So yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. And everything you're saying like completely makes sense that, just as you said, perhaps some of the basic needs were not met with food and sleep and rest. And you had some significant
Dressers, yeah.
stressors for sure. And that urge for wine is not wrong. It's not bad. It's just a signal. It's
And I
just
was
your
like, I
nervous
don't know
system.
how else to take care of myself right now. Like if I had wine at home, I would have already been like drinking it right there. So
So if you decide to go drink wine, no, that's okay. But when you're in a moment like that and you're like, I'm having this urge and I just wanted to settle down, that is again a signal that your nervous system is saying, hey, we got something going on in here. How can we settle down? So you got a couple options. You could do the exercise that I did with you all earlier, and I'd be very happy to walk through it with you if you want.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like I came in right at the very end when I was like, what's going on? And then you were like, there was a fire in my backyard. And I was like, oh.
Why is
So
Lizzie
I,
crying?
you, no. No, I'm doing, you guys are always sharing stuff. That didn't faze me at all, but I missed the exercise. And you were just like, I feel so much better. I think I came in right when you said, I just went from a 2 to an 8. And that's like right when I came in. I'm so sorry. But
So I can explain what I did. And if you get to decide, like you and I can walk through it together, but basically what it does is it's allowing you to say like, what exactly am I feeling? And like, let it have its say and let it kind of like bring that tension down. If you're like, feelings feel a little bit scary and dangerous, we can just kind of talk through some nervous system regulating tools. So you want to talk about feelings or just nervous system?
Think just nervous system, because the way I ended up kind of processing, I was so up here that like I couldn't even understand what was happening, and I just started like verbalizing. I was like, I'm really upset right now. I only got 3 hours of sleep. I haven't eaten. Why didn't I eat before I went to bed? And that just saying those things out loud instead of just like letting the thoughts and feelings like rushing around, like that started to bring me down a little bit. And then I was like, okay, I probably should eat. And And so that, I think maybe, because I know that that's also feeling for me in the evenings when I'm really bored and kind of feeling unsettled because I'm single. I have nothing to do in the evening. The kids are hanging out in their rooms and I could go to the gym, but I feel guilty if I go to the gym. So I'm just like, that uneasy feeling. So maybe the nervous, talking about the nervous system stuff, how to like just like recognize like I'm really keyed up and then how to like bring it down enough to even know what my thoughts are.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how to recognize it? You the urge for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
That's bingo.
Sick.
That's like a light saying, hey, we got our nervous system is kind of amped up. Urge for, random snacks when you're not hungry. Those are great ways to recognize that your nervous system is saying, hey, I'm feeling a little jacked up right now. So, I'll tell you what. Currently, right now, if you could rate your tension on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is I'm so calm and chill, and 10 is I am very anxious and amped up. Where would you rate your anxiousness or amped upness?
I'm kind of at a six right now, but mostly because it's the first time I've ever been on a coaching call. So, but so the so I think my life stress went from like a 9.7 to like a four, before the call. But now I'm like at a six because I'm like nervous about the call. So,
Yeah, I always get nervous before calls too. Okay, so we're going to do a nervous system regulating exercise together. It's like I like to think of this as like first aid for I am feeling amped up. So like if I'm amped up, this is what I do. I excuse myself to the restroom and this is what I do. So we're going to breathe in and we're going to make the sound VOO. V as in Victor, O-O, as we breathe out. We're going to do it together. Okay? And so we're going to do it 5 times. It's gonna feel a little weird, and that's totally okay. All right. So, Mary, you ready? All right. Let's breathe in together. Let's breathe in and make that sound out. All the way out. Keep making that sound as you breathe out. Really breathe it out. You're like, she's still breathing. You're laughing. That's good. Okay, we're gonna do it one more time. So I really want you to have a nice long exhale. Ready? Breathe in.
It's hard to make the sound the whole time.
I know. Keep trying though. Nice. All right, this time I want you to close your eyes. Breathe in. Make that sound out.
It almost feels like crying, that voo sound. Anyways.
Keep going, keep going. All right, 2 more times. Breathe in. On this exhale, I want your shoulders to drop. So make that sound. Great job, Mary. One more time. Big breath in. All the way out. Voo it out, voo it out. Really let your shoulders drop. Okay.
Shake my seatbelt. There you go. I'm not driving.
So after we did that breathing exercise on a scale of 1 to 10, you were at around a 6. Where are you now?
Yeah. Like probably like a two or a three. I felt like it was like almost like vibrating like massage internally or something.
You totally just nailed it. Yes. So the science behind that tool is when you exhale longer than you inhale, that signals safety to your nervous system because your nervous system is like, we're probably not running from something with really sharp teeth if we can exhale longer than we can inhale. I'm not trying to run away from something. So that is already a good thing. And then that voo sound vibrates your vocal cords, which massages your vagus nerve, which is like a bundle of nerves that goes all the way from your brainstem all the way down into your gut, which is where we have a whole bunch of nerves down there too. So, Mary, you just did a nervous system regulating tool. Give me a high
That
five.
was awesome. Yeah,
High five it.
truth.
Yes. Nice.
That is awesome. Working in a
Yeah.
medical lab where there's like bleeding emergencies and stuff, that's going to come in handy. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you recognize, I have an urge for something, or I didn't necessarily take care of my, basic needs, I'm feeling amped up. That VU process is like first aid. It's going to take you from a, a 7 to a 5. Weirdly, my video seems to be slowing down. So if I freeze, everybody, sorry about that.
I saw a little slowing, but it's good. Yep.
Cool. So that's a way to just kind of meet your body where it's at. We're not worrying about whatever the emotions are. You're just, kind of meeting your body and your nervous system and saying, just like you probably heard me talk about, like bodies are like of, your sweetest animal, that great instincts, not super good at verbalizing. And so you're just saying, hey, animal, my sweet pet, I love you. It's going to be okay, kind of thing.
Yeah, like let me like rub your ears.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, I love. Okay, well, thank you so much. I'm yeah, that's really handy, and I feel like that's gonna like, 'cause sometimes I'm just nervous at work 'cause I have to go tell the nurses and doctors face to face a critical result or something, and I'm so nervous that I like grab candy while I'm out there. So this is gonna be really good to just do the actual first aid, not the box of Nerds candies. So
And it's so interesting that you mentioned rubbing the ears. Like that actually is a thing too. That's kind of a self-soothing mechanism. Obviously, there's nerves in the ears, but you can do that anywhere on your body, whether it's your shoulders or even just rubbing your hand. Fun fact, that's called havening. So there's a sciencey term to it, which basically is like when you're touching something with your fingers and touching another part of your body, your brain is like, this is so weird. I'm getting inputs from two different places in my fingers and the part of my body. And that also signals safety.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. I wonder if that's why I like to like scratch my scalp with, and when I'm getting tired at work, I'm like, ah, feels so much better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lizzie. It was so
You're so welcome, Mary.
yay. Thank
Give
you.
yourself the gift of a little rest today.
Oh, yes, definitely. I have to get up again for work at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'm flip-flopping, so that's why I'm trying to stay up today to go to bed at a
Okay.
reasonable time. Yeah. Thank you. All
You're
right.
welcome. Good to
Okay.
see you.
Bye.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks. Thanks.
Bye. All right. That was cool. We are getting all of the nervous system stuff going on today. All right. So we got Leanne is going to come up, and then we'll have Annette and then Bernadette. Zoom user said, I think I need to make a list of these things. I live in flight mode too much. I love that you said that. So yes, we have the nervous system resources page that I will pull up in just a second and put it in the chat, but you can create your own like SOS toolkit. I tell my clients a lot of times, I'm like, listen, you have your phone. Make a note in your phone and label it SOS or whatever. And like you can put in whatever tools resonate for you. Whether it's the how to feel your feelings, or it's the VU breathing, or like maybe, I don't know, you want to rub your ears. Whatever works for you, you can create a note in your phone, because when you are stressed, when your nervous system is jacked up, your resources, your blood goes to your heart, your lungs, and your muscles. Guess where it's not? In your brain. So, of course, you don't remember those nervous system tools when you're stressed out. But if you have a note in your phone, you can be like, oh, I don't have to remember. It's right here. Thank you so much, Christy, for putting in the link for the nervous system resource page. Okay. Hello, Leanne. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I wasn't going to raise my hand on this call, but something you mentioned about your client, the dog person, really stuck with me, where she said, I don't do emotions. And the thing for me is that I'm the exact opposite. Emotions are all I do. I mean, it's pretty much like I live my life by my emotions. And I've been trying my whole life to get a handle on that, and to try to, calm myself down in situations and let that rational part of my brain actually have a say. Because, obviously adult life requires you to not behave like a toddler all the time. And, I think that's why I overeat at night, is not because I'm suppressing feelings. It's that I am so burnt out on feeling them all day long that I need something to numb me out a bit. And I do these exercises. I've tried all of these, parasympathetic nervous system exercises, and I've done a lot of things to try to actually calm myself down when I feel overwhelmed. But what that does is it tends to bring me to like a slightly lower level of emotion. Whereas eating a snack at night, something that's delicious or something that's, I don't know, whatever it is that I like or feel like having, that's probably the only good emotion I feel during the day. So I don't know how to replace that with something that, I mean, my life is not going well right now. I've talked about this with Corinne before, and I don't want to get into it, but I'm going through the most stressful period of my life, and it's devastating to me. So I'm feeling all these emotions all day long. And I'm just curious, what do you do when it's not a matter of suppressing your emotions? What if you're perfectly good at feeling them, but that's why you need a break? Like, that's why you need something to give yourself that little bit of a break from feeling and facing everything all the time. I don't know if I'm making sense, but like I'm in my life, I'm being forced to face every emotion head on that I have. I have to sit with my feelings just based on what's going on with me. That I can't suppress anything. So I'm fried out. I'm just completely. My whole nervous system is just, it's badly triggered all the time. And really, the only thing at night that helps me kind of settle down is just having something kind of sweet to eat or something nice to eat. And of course, it's not really what I want to do. I want to lose weight and be healthier. So that's my question.
I really appreciate you bringing that up. Because I could imagine you're thinking like, I have the opposite challenge. The feelings are always all here all the time. Help me, give me a little bit of context, Leanne. So you're feeling your feelings. How much body work do you do? And what I mean by that is like stretching, massage gun, things that are physical. What kind of things do you do for
Well,
your body?
I go to the gym and swim 2 or 3 times a week, and I go for a lot of walks, and I do breathing exercises, and I do some yoga, and I do some meditation that's kind of focused on the body, like very, very much like it's mental, but you're very much focusing on parts of your body and finding out where the tension is and actively releasing it and things like that. So from a somatic sense, I am okay with like I'm not carrying a lot of stress in my shoulders or my neck or anything like that because I'm actually attending to the physical part pretty well, I think. It's really a big mental issue, like a cortex issue for me. It's like a real, it's not even like the lower brain monster that just, wants what she wants. It's kind of like my brain has decided this is a good solution, so we're going to do this, And how do you stop that? Like, I don't know.
So I appreciate you acknowledging like you are doing the somatic stuff. So you're meeting your body where it's at. You're doing what you can to regulate your nervous system, feel the feelings. So you said it's a cortex issue. So what I interpret, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're saying this is a thought challenge. Like if we go through the model of the circumstance, thought, feelings, it's like we're in the T line. Is that accurate?
Yes, I would say so. It doesn't feel like it's out of control. It doesn't feel like it's just compulsive. It feels like this is a solution, almost like when you have a headache and you take an aspirin. It's like this is a solution. I'm going to fix this, and this is the best idea I've had for this so far. It works, so I'm going to go with it,
When you've been coached by Corinne, when you coached with Corinne, did you coach on your thoughts, on your feelings? What, how did that go?
It was mostly on my feelings, and she was helpful, but she was sort of, I explained my whole situation to her, and that made her cry. And she was saying that if she was going through what I was going through, she'd probably gain 50 pounds. So I'm not sort of I'm not going there for what's actually happening to me for a reason. It's just I'm trying to express that aside from acknowledging my emotions, it's like, yes, I acknowledge this. I know that this is a bad situation, and it's all external, really. If my external situation changed, I would feel a lot better. It's nothing to do with inside me. It's something happening to someone I love. So it's Corinne basically said, give yourself grace, give yourself some time to just be okay with whatever works for you for now. And she's often said in many cases, maybe it's not your time to lose weight. Maybe it's not, and I appreciate that. But I do think that for me, I won't really feel better physically or mentally until I feel like I've solved this particular issue. I don't like feeling like this is my best option. I feel kind of weak, or I'm not even sure what the word is, but like,
Tell me more about that. What do you mean you've, what makes you feel like you're weak?
well, it's an obvious go-to. It's an obvious thing to say, I'm feeling really stressed, I'm going to eat. It's been my problem my whole life, and no matter how many times I've tried to talk myself out of it, I never seem to get away from it. Whenever stress rears its ugly head in my life, it seems to be that's the go-to, even though I know it's not what I want and I know it's not going to help. It just, I feel like, why can't I be stronger about this? Why can't I be more, maybe just smarter about this? I'm not sure what the right word is, but it's like we've been here before, I'm impatient with it. I'm like, we've been over this. This
Okay, so
doesn't
what?
really help,
Okay.
It helps tonight, but ultimately it doesn't help tomorrow,
So what I'm hearing is there's the stress, the situation, the external situation that is very difficult. There's the knee-jerk reaction to turn to food, but then there's the judgment of that reaction.
And I am working on that because I am trying to be like, if I overeat one day, I generally just say, okay, next meal I'm going to make better choices. I'm not as hard on myself as I was. I am kind of looking at this almost from a curiosity, like scientific type of thing. Like, how can I stop this from happening? Like, I'm not judging. I'm just saying this is not the ideal response. So how would you start to almost reprogram yourself? How do you start to say, okay, this is a thing that I'm doing, and it's not really ideal. So I would like to change that. I would like to find other ways, or since I can't really do anything about the stress in my life, and I can't change the fact that I'm an emotional person, the one thing that seems like I can change is my decision to soothe myself with food. So obviously I'm drawn to wanting to change that, because when you take that power, when you sort of say, I feel so powerless in my life, I feel like everything is just not up to me, and I'm just sailing along on this wild ride that's very unpleasant, and I can't get off and I can't do anything about it, but I can do something about the thoughts that I'm acting on. I can do something about the habits I've developed. So you start to reach for things that actually would work. Since I know that eating at night doesn't ultimately work, my mind is like, well, let's try to find out a way we can do something that you're going to feel better tomorrow, rather than bad about, that you ate a donut again last night or whatever it was. It's not so much judgment. It's like, yeah, but I know it doesn't work, so I have to find a way to make this work better.
So, what I'm going to say is not particularly scientific or in any of the life coaching manuals that they teach you. This is a Lizzie original.
Okay, great.
So, what I would do, and I certainly don't want to say that I've been in your situation, but in situations where I have been frustrated with myself and my behavior, and like, why the fuck do I keep doing this? The story I tell myself is I will goddamn make sure that this struggle will be for a purpose because I am going to figure out what this is go what's going on for me so that I can help somebody else. So I don't know when, I don't know how, but someday, somewhere, I'm either going to have more compassion for somebody who's struggling with something similar. I can help them because I will be able to acknowledge I've been in your shoes or similar. And I can say, here's what worked for me. What that does for me, and I don't know that it would help you, but this is what, again, Lizzie Original, is I take the frustration and the why, and I'm like, I'm going to make some meaning out of this. I'm going to put some purpose behind it because I have to. It feels stupid and purposeless and frustrating. And so I'm going to choose to make it mean something. I'm going to choose to harness this towards some kind of powerful, helpful force that I don't care if it's just the person in the grocery store line behind me one day. I will find a way to make my struggle mean something where I can be in service of somebody else. And so what that
That's
does for
very good.
me when I'm struggling is it takes the frustration and it just shifts it a little. Be like, yes, I'm frustrated, and what can I learn from this so that I can help that somebody someday who I know is in my future, I just don't know when or where.
That is really, that's really profound, because I know that especially as women, we seem to be very willing to help other people before we help ourselves. We tend to have, no doubt about helping our kids or helping our families or whatever. But when it comes to us, we're sort of like, oh, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. So maybe that taps into that benevolent part of, like he said, that I can be of use to someone else with this. That's very, I'm going to think about that because I haven't thought about that before. So that's a great Lizzie original.
Thanks. And
That's
I
really good.
guarantee you, if you look for a way that you can use your struggle and your suffering to put some meaning behind it and some purpose behind it, it may not be today or tomorrow or next year, but you can find it.
Well, I think that'll really help, because I do think part of the issue with going through what I'm going through is that it's just this, there's no end in sight, and it just seems all so pointless, and I'm just sort of going with the flow. But I don't, and there is no point to it in a way. It's not going to achieve anything in the end. So if I can look at it from that perspective, I can be very disciplined when it comes to having a goal about something I want to achieve. So maybe that's the better way to look at it. Like,
Yeah,
I
when
could
something is
be.
pointless, it's
Yeah.
completely frustrating. But
Yeah.
when you're like, I'm suffering for a purpose,
Yeah.
then you're like, okay, I can figure this out.
I've always responded very well to Corinne's, I'll figure this out. That was one of the first things when I heard her say that on the podcast, where she talked about her first attempt at, like, okay, that's it. I'm going to figure this out. And that really resonated with me, because
Yeah.
it seems like that's the key. Like, it's just, this can be figured out. I think maybe that's why I've been so frustrated, is that I know there's an answer to this, and it's just trying to find it that's been the problem. But I'm going to really think about that and work on that. So
Yeah.
thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you for raising your hand. I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, and have a good rest of your night. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Night. Oh, so much good stuff. All right. So that was Leanne. So now we got Annette coming up, and then we'll have Bernadette after that. Oh, and we got a Q&A. What's in the Q&A? All right. So Claudia says, but what can we do when the urge is so big? Maybe tired from the job, do not want to do housework, waiting for me, and other reasons on the one hand, and loving chocolate on the other side. I love chocolate too. At that moment, I'm longing for the taste and do not want to stop and avoid the chocolate. It's the only calming my nervous system down, but it's also the great taste. So I'm not willing not eating the chocolate. But how can I manage to eat just two pieces and stop? Sorry for my English in Germany. It's midnight. Oh my goodness. Claudia, thank you for joining us so late. So, Claudia, I really want to validate what you're saying. Like, you're so tired, your feelings are so big, the urge is so huge, and you're like, I just have so much work waiting for me. And the chocolate is the only thing that's like the like little burst of joy in the day. So let's acknowledge that. And here's like a baby step towards helping your nervous system feel a little bit more settled. How about between each piece of chocolate, you do one of the nervous system tools we talked about, whether it's what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way, or you do that voo breath that I did with Mary. Just start with I'm so allowed to have the chocolate. I can absolutely have it, but between each one, I'm gonna input a nervous system regulating tool or something to acknowledge what's going on the inside so that, yes, I'm settling my nervous system with the food, but I'm also pairing it with other tools. So let me know what you think about that. Cool. All right. Annette, hi.
I forgot what shirt I had on. My thing is, my grandson, my oldest grandson, has Asperger's. And I pick him up from school most nights. And he usually, we have to have a discussion about his day. I usually ask him how his day was or whatever. And most of the time he has things that happen, but he gets bullied a lot. He used to get bullied a lot in elementary and stuff. He's overweight and he's short and he doesn't have one athletic bone in his body. And like he said, I said something about running. He said, "Grandma, I'm a sloth." That's what he told me. And I'm like, but sloths are cool animals. I said, they are so cute and they are so loving. I said, just like you. You're so cute. You're so loving. Everything has a place on the earth. You have such good things. And he's very smart. He's very high functioning. Well, tonight we had a conversation, and he's a very literal thinker. And the teacher told them they had to improve their handwriting. Well, their handwriting is really bad. They took it out of the curriculum. So now penmanship is not something anybody worries about. Well, now this teacher is going to worry about it because she can't read anything they write. And they kind of took computers away from them because they are relying too heavily on them, blah blah blah. So she's just making them write a paper and only giving them a week to do it. I'm like, well, that should be plenty. And he's like, but she's making us write it, and the sentences have to stay between the lines on the paper. Okay. And he's like, but not all the letters are above the line. He said, take a Y for instance, Grandma.
Oh,
Part of the
sure.
Y has to be below the line.
Yeah.
He said, and let's talk about the Q for a minute. And so he's talking about this. Well, I try and explain it. Well, then he ramps up a little bit about how no, it has to be between the line,
Very literal,
he
okay.
was taught, and his mom is a reading teacher, a Title I reading teacher in the elementary. And so, I try and be compassionate and all this stuff, but I'm like, you're so literal. I said, try not to be so literal. Now his reading scores are to the sophomore in college level.
Wow.
He reads Greek mythology books that come from the library in the
If you could boil it down to one sentence, what's the challenge that's frustrating you?
My challenge is it ramps me up where I want to help fix it for him. Where that doesn't, that he's not so literal. It's like she wants to on the line, but writing isn't all on one. When you type it, it's not on one line. And he just doesn't get it. And I can just feel my chest tightening up because it's like, I want to fix this for him where he can see this and he just can't see it. He just
Okay.
can't help him.
So you love this child and he's struggling and you see how it could be easier or better, and you want him to go in, there's almost like a fork of the road. You want him to go this way and he can't. He wants to go that way. So almost like a minute ago I was talking to Leanne, who said, like, I am wired to feel all my feelings. Analogy would be like if we were asking her to stop feeling feelings, and she probably would say, I can't. That's how I'm wired. I just they're all here. They're all big. For your grandson, it is how he's wired to be very literal. And so of course you want to fix it for him. Of course you want to alleviate the frustration for him. How can you do that? Working with the way his brain is wired, with the literalness that you can acknowledge, he's going to be literal. He is going to fight me to the teeth that the letters have to be between the lines. I don't care what the Q does or the Y or the whatever. How could you work with that?
Well, I told him to go tell his mother. Go talk to your mother. You have a mother in there. I told him, I said, maybe you need to go ask the teacher and see what you can work out. Now
Sure.
they don't let him bring anything home. So it takes him
Well, if
longer.
we were to experiment with like door number three, like door number one is he writes the way, everybody normally writes with the Q goes underneath the line. Door number two is he, I don't know, writes in all caps. What would be a thinking outside the box option?
I mean, he needs to think, he needs to learn how to live in this world and be able to take direction and do things the way you're supposed to do them instead of arguing every second. And I just told him, go ask her what is her expectations.
Okay. But
And
I guess if you were to look at at his literal interpretation as just almost like a different language, how would you learn to speak his language and explain how to live in the world in his language?
see, I got nothing because my mind doesn't work that way.
Okay.
And his mind doesn't work that way. And he'll tell you, but Grandma, my mind does not work like your mind. He said, my mind works like mine. And so I get so stressed, I throw up, and he starts throwing up at night and because he gets so stressed.
So I wonder, you want to fix it for him,
I
and
want
it
it.
seems like you can't.
I can't fix his Asperger's.
So how could you coach him and teach him to help himself figure it out?
I just wish he would go ask the teacher or go ask the people that are asking him to do that,
Okay.
to go ask her. What are your expectations? And is there any way that I can take it home? Because it's going to take me longer.
So hypothetically, you're driving home with him. What's his name?
Caitlin.
So you're driving home with Caitlin, and he's talking to you about this paper and then driving between or writing between the lines, and you want to tell him, go do this, do that. You're trying to fix it. How would it feel different for you, Annette, if you said, well, Caitlin, what have you tried so far? Or what ideas do you have? And just ask him questions. How do you think that would impact you?
I have I have tried that sometimes, and he just repeats back to me what the teacher told him. Well, what he perceives the teacher told him.
Okay. So here's a thought. So similar to when I was talking to Leanne, that I was like, we're gonna look outside the box here and we're gonna take the very real, legit struggle and bring some purpose to it. For you, you have a very real, legit struggle. You cannot fix the challenge. And so, but what you can do is instead of trying to fix it, you can look at how can I teach Kalen to fix it for himself, to think in a way that he can figure out a way to do it, given the way his brain is wired. Because the way my brain is wired, the way I'm going to tell him to fix it, he's going to fight me tooth and nail. So that's not going to work. So how can I coach him, ask him questions to encourage him and challenge him to figure it out in his way, the way that his brain is wired? What do you think?
Yeah, and he's really into science. You would love this kid, by the way. He's very into science. So I could probably go at it as a science experiment for him and tell him to maybe write out a sentence or a few words, maybe just one sentence on a piece of paper, and take it up and ask her if that would be acceptable to her.
Well, I would be willing to bet I have a great admiration for neurodivergent brains. Because I'm fascinated. I'm like, you think differently than me? Tell me everything. Because I want to know, how do you think differently? Because you could figure out problems that we have never thought of before. And so he has a beautiful mind, it just works differently than yours. And so if you can encourage him to figure out patterns, science, the scientific method is a process. You don't need to give him answers. You need to teach him to learn his own process so he can find his own answers.
You know, he would do that, but like the schools, they just put them in a, they put them, they're taking this beautiful round peg and they're shoving him in this square, in this square.
Well, maybe you're his grandma for a reason.
And you
Maybe
know,
he needs someone in his life who says, you are a beautiful round peg, and I want you to be as round as you can be, but we're going to teach you how to be round in a square world.
it causes me a lot of anxiety because he doesn't like being a round peg in a square world because people bully him.
I would encourage you to think of this like, how can you be his Yoda, his Obi-Wan Kenobi? Like, you're not going to fight the Darth Vader for him. You're going to teach him how in his way.
Yeah, and I told him once, I said, you do understand that if you were taller, they would bully you for being tall. If you were skinny, they would bully you for being skinny. If you had glasses, didn't have glasses, they would bully you for not having glasses. I said, honey, I said, you are smart enough to pay attention. Pay attention to what they're doing when they're not saying anything to you. See who they're saying something to. Because they're talking. And he did realize that they're saying mean things to other people too. But then he has to stand up for them and then he gets in the fray, but
So a question I would encourage you to ask yourself is, how can you empower him to figure out his own processes that work with the way his brain is wired and come with creative, novel solutions?
yeah, he did go talk to his mom, like I told him to. I said, and tell her that this is happening. And his mom is going to go have a meeting with him and his teacher so that he understands that there might be a difference between what he heard and what the teacher actually said. And if it has to be a 504, because he has an individual learning plan, that he
In the
can
meantime,
integrate.
it's impacting you, it's amping you up, and so you might have urges to eat to make those difficult feelings go away. And that's the opportunity to say, just like with the other people I've talked to, the urge is the signal. It's a signal that your nervous system is saying, hey, I am upset about something, and it's just asking to be seen and heard. Yeah. Annette, we're a little bit over time, so I'm gonna run, but I appreciate and just so much love to you and to Kalen, and thank you for sharing about him, and keep us posted. I would love to meet him one day since he loves science. Yeah.
We'll make him a
Great.
science experiment.
In the best way. Awesome. Thank you, Annette.
Right, thank you.
All right, take care. Earlier we had Bernadette had her hand raised once or twice and she put her hand down. But Bernadette, I would invite you if you ever want to write to me and ask coaches or oh, I see she put a note in the Q&A that she's going to take her note to ask coaches. Perfect. Bernadette, please do. And if it's specifically for me, I would love to answer it for you. So everyone, thank you so much for joining me for the nighttime eating call tonight. We went lots of different directions. I appreciate you. Thanks for being my friend and listening to me process and know that you have lots of other amazing women here within the Novius community who would love to listen to you process, be there for you. Certainly, whether it's another Novius woman, whether it's one of us coaches, we're all in this together. So much love to you all. I appreciate you so much. And, keep kicking ass. All right. Have a good night. Bye.